Now, where are you going here? You're going to Cobb's in San Francisco. What do you like to do during the days in San Fran to unwind? Do you go?
I just work on my ventriloquism.
Oh, how's that going, Norm?
It's going great, man. I thought Rusty and I would do a little holiday song for you.
Oh, you're kidding me. Let me kick back here and put my feet up in front of the fire, you and Rusty. Which puppet is Rusty? Refresh me.
Rusty's just my friend. You know, I'm having a lot of trouble with my cranky old man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember old Alec Majerison, the virulent anti-Semite.
Yeah, sure, I remember. What are you kidding me? I have a plaque commemorating my first meeting.
I'm trying to get rid of that guy because you know he's a Holocaust denier. That's no secret. He's an enthusiastic Holocaust denier, and I've had it up to here with this character. You know, the man, he's just a waste of wood. But I don't know what to do. One of my Jewish friends suggested that, why don't I just throw him in a fire and burn him? But I say two wrongs don't make a right. We're not here to talk about that.
So I had a pretty intense D&D campaign last night. I don't want to bore you with the details or anything like that, but you know, we stumbled into this dock not before trying to figure out the solvency issue with our inn. Lyft's last call, the bartender is a poltergeist. He does not take any tips, but there was a rival inn, a rival bar that was funded by the Black Hand. And they were essentially squashing our business. The manager at the bar, this condescending halfling, really let us have it when we went in there and tried to kind of smooth things over. So the halfling in our group decided to poison the food that the patrons were eating.
I spaced out. I thought he was talking about his trip to Virginia.
No, it's D&D.
No, D&D. And he didn't quite pass the DC, so he didn't really put anybody in the hospital. But one person did get pretty sick. I took the employees through a performance check, which I'm a +7, so these performances are going to be pretty persuasive. And took them out of there, said we won't take half your tips, and we got going. So we really did a number on their business, and the week that we had was pretty good, 300 gold pieces each. So we took that to the armory and the blacksmith, and really had a pretty woman moment. Bought whatever we wanted, essentially. I got a wand of paralysis, 7 slots, DC 15 paralyze somebody. Unbelievable weapon. Our sorcerer got a ring of slots, essentially, you know, giving himself 5 extra slots for magic use. Some really special items. And then we went about our battles and stumbled
into...
When
you were with the blacksmith, did he give you a look like you're not affluent enough to be in here and you can't afford all the things you had in your basket?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just making sure.
No, that's why I said it was a pretty woman moment. And he looked at me. I'm a bard, an old bard. My name is Huge Joe. And
before you left, did you say big mistake? Big mistake.
Yes, I said it was a pretty woman moment. What is confusing about this?
Think
I would have just called it a pretty woman moment if we just walked in? I wasn't branded a whore. You think I would have called it that if that hadn't happened?
I'm just making sure.
God,
you're familiar
damn
with Julia Roberts.
So
category.
We roll into this combat. We see a couple swashbucklers, engage them without really any strategy whatsoever. Big mistake. They whistle, call a marrow out of the water. It's ridden by a dwarf with a crossbow. Brawny dude, but not a lot of constitution. Anyways, the sorcerer in our group casts a hold spell and twin spells it to both of them, nullifies the two of them essentially, and gives our half orc ample opportunity to triple crit on the marrow and the dwarf in concert. You know, playing D&D nowadays isn't really, it's a little choogy, you know, it's not the nerdiest thing you can do.
It's not?
No, it's not that nerdy. I mean, we've talked about the shard cast many times. You know, people don't know what real nerddom is these days. We joke often about how hot girls say that they love Spider-Man movies and they're a little nerdy. Okay, you know what I mean? And that infuriates me because I'm not per se a real nerd. You know, I played D&D and I played Magic the Gathering as a young boy, dabbled in a little bit of Yu-Gi-Oh, but I was more of a Saturday morning cartoon guy, not really a player of the game. But, you know, to jog people's memory, perhaps these are new listeners who have never listened to the Shardcast before. You guys know my love of Brandon Sanderson's work, the Stormlight Archive, and my love is nothing compared to these fucking nerds. These are what real nerds actually are. Let's just play this for one sec, just to remind people.
Some weird things. It's like, okay, Brandon, fine.
Yeah. I am like holding out hope for Shallan and Yasna Book 5 plot Hunting the Ghostbloods. Like, that is...
That sounds awesome!
It brings Shallan back with Yasna. Like, there's so many different... And there's so many different ways that makes sense.
Fighting Mraes, fighting the Ghostbloods, finding Baadamishram. Maybe Yasna knows things about Baadamishram. That'd be awesome. I mean, Hoid probably knows some things.
Hoid told her so much stuff.
Yeah, and...
I think Lyft also might be interested in hunting Mraes since that happened. Oh.
All right. So, with your bullying sound effect aside...
Look at how shocked Comatose is right
Comatose
now.
Is blown away. And Weary, who is a pretty big influence in the comment board, he knows what's up.
How ironically named Comatose. Showing so much expression.
Well, the thought of Hoid and Yasna knowing plenty about Baadamishram, it's pretty shocking if you haven't stumbled upon that in your creative writing. But anyways.
Dylan, I'm looking at this Shardcast, which is a podcast corresponding with the book series. Is that what this is?
Yeah, the 17 Shards.
This podcast is 2 hours and 44 minutes.
Yes. Well, it is the recap of Rhythm of War, the fourth tome in the first half of the Stormlight Archive. 2 hours and 40 minutes is just enough to scratch the surface, I'd say.
Now, you bring this up and we poke fun at them a lot.
Yeah.
Or dissect them. Maybe it's not poking fun. Do you listen to this?
From time to time. But, you know, it got me thinking, like, you know, you guys are from shit kicker towns. I don't think that, like, perhaps your nerddom that you experience as young men comes close to my kind of private school. I mean, there were a lot of pussies in my education, so I had some pretty huge nerds. But what were the nerds doing when you were coming up
first,
as a young buck?
For some perspective, Dylan attended Campbell Hall, which is all the kids that didn't go to Harvard, Westlake, or some other private school for high school. You went with all the actors and actresses and big producers' kids that were smart, but they had some problems. So you send them to Campbell Hall, and now they pick up cocaine problems there. Is that an incorrect description?
Not wholly incorrect. I mean, I think I would slot into that. But perhaps there were parents that did not want to subject their children to the heinous rigor of academia at Harvard Westlake. Perhaps they wanted their children to have a little fun with their education as well. You know, Campbell Hall is a marvelous institution. I think it's $40,000 a year now.
That's right.
It wasn't that when I was going there, but I mean, who can fucking afford that?
Well, exactly that. You got to have
Peter Goober and Denzel Washington.
You
got
to keep the bar high to keep all the poor kids out, and that's how we keep this network going.
Yes, exactly. And the Olsons paid their way through that educational institution. But anyways, what were the nerds like when you guys were growing up?
More questions about Campbell Hall. You said it's kids who have problems.
Well, they're saying,
do they go there and they have problems because they're so rich?
Well, they're not fuck ups. These are kids like either, you know, Dylan's a smart guy. So smart guys like Dylan, but also it would lower down to kids that would barely, they probably shouldn't be going. They
bought their way in.
They bought their way in.
I was the poorest person at that school. One of the poorest people at that school.
That's crazy.
Which says something because mom was making a lot of money.
Interesting. And more questions about D&D.
Like, yeah.
again, we've always talked
about
it.
And we should play D&D, the three of us, on a show.
I'm willing to. I'm just trying to nail down exactly what it is. Because my problem with it, as I've discussed with many games, I don't like the lack of objectivity.
Right.
And from what I understand, some of the things that you describe sure. that happen, you don't. There's no thing that gave you access to those. You just, it's your turn, and then you declare it.
Yeah,
it's, I bought all this stuff. What are you going to do about Blacksmith?
Well, no,
I mean, Julia Roberts.
No, Nick. Nick. There is an inventory of weaponry. You can't just purchase a legendary weapon with a +3 when you hit your damage with 300 gold pieces. I mean, there are rules, but much like a shroom trip, I mean, you have to embrace ego death. You can't allow yourself to be riddled with anxiety over the wide open rainbow of opportunity and possibility. It is inherently the beauty of the game and the mushroom trip.
I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound a little judgy, or maybe I'm going to sound like both your former bosses, Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
The thing I love about D&D, although I want nothing to do with it, okay. If you do ask me to participate in it, I'll say I'm going to Solvang.
Okay.
I love how, because it's basically a video game, but it's a video game where you and four or five or whatever people have to use their own goddamn imagination to kind of create these things.
Yeah.
Nowadays, a kid goes in and all the stuff you guys are talking about, I'm assuming there's a video game called Dungeons & Dragons or something like that. You want to kill an ogre with an axe or something. You just plug in your PlayStation or whatever and you start chopping away and the blood comes out. You don't have to think about it at all. Before you know it, 14 hours have passed by. You haven't actually use your imagination at all. You're just trying to cut someone's head off.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant exercise in adapting to a narrative and or a character. You know, mine is much akin to me. You know, it's a bard. It's a soothsayer. It's a comedian.
It's a
you
cynical
know?
Guy.
A cynical guy, yeah. A little bit of a nihilist. You know, we were in a fierce battle the other day, and I witnessed that there was the matriarch that we were really going after sitting in the room who had rolled very, very high on initiative. So I was like, what kind of modifiers does she have? I mean, she could have rolled really high, but she's also probably got some mods, so she seems pretty powerful. Why isn't she attacking us? Dis, our dungeon master, told us to roll an insight check, which we did, and we found out that she was guarded by something pretty brawny that we could not see yet. So I was out of spells. I wasn't helping in the combat. And I decided to Leroy Jenkins my way into that room. Now, everyone said, he's going to have an attack of opportunity against you. Don't do that. I said,
this game's played with dice?
I said, my character would do that. I ran into the room, and I was met with the matriarch and a towering half-orc who was her bodyguard. I rolled a persuasion check. The DC was 26. Pretty high DC. I hit it. So I told the matriarch, can we just stop fighting, please? Can we put down our swords? And because I did hit the DC, that's exactly what happened. My persuasion nullified what was the biggest bad guy we had faced so far in the campaign, and I nullified him with words.
That's amazing.
So again, you're just making shit up as we go along.
What were the fucking nerds when you guys were growing up?
My nerds, I was playing a clip from Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds in one of the initial scenes where he's literally seen grabbing a nerd by his two legs and dropping him off a second story building in front of the two incoming nerds.
Sure.
A lot of my nerds at my high school or middle school experience looked like the nerds from Revenge of the Nerds.
And I would imagine they played D&D when it was a witchcraft kind of thing.
It's possible. My first introduction into Dungeons & Dragons was one of my college roommates in my dorm.
Okay.
Yeah, Greg. Him and some guy who I hated would come over and they'd play. They let me play once, and I just kept saying, I want to kill that guy. And they laughed a couple times, and they understood I had no idea what I was talking about.
Sure,
and they kicked me out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but nerds. Nick, do you want to talk about nerds you knew?
Yeah. So I went to Catholic school growing up. My grade school class peaked at 26. My middle school class at one point was like 140. And then a bunch of people drop out before high school because the kids like fight back with their parents.
Did you say 126 or 26?
Grade school, 26. My grade school classes were like 25 people.
Can I get that podcast?
The entire class.
I was actually going to ask you. I never got it back from the first time I gave it to you. My entire grade school class, 26 people, like from K through six, 200 people in the school, something like that.
You went to a fancy boy school too.
I did. My grandma begged the church. Now they have, so people like my grandma don't have to beg. They have a thing called fair share where they take your income, and if you're a doctor, you pay $40,000 a year. But if you're my grandma, then you get to go for free. So my grandma doesn't have to go and talk to the priest every year and promise we'll
Sounds
go to
like
church.
Or show up at church. Socialist bullshit to me.
That was it.
What happened to the meritocracy in this country, huh?
It
got burnt down by the fucking libs. That's what happened.
Ironically, most people there probably conservative, but yes, it is a little socialist. Yeah. But
it's almost like there's merit to it.
And also maybe those people don't want socialism in the international structure, but in their own community, it's sure. okay because
it's
that's
a community.
How things should work.
Federalist socialism is okay.
Let the states do what they want to do. They have their yes. own identities.
If Alabama wants to punch a woman in the stomach for getting pregnant out of wedlock and then say deal with whatever the ramifications are.
What exact law?
Go for it.
What law are you quoting?
Fucking go for it.
No politics. Stop it.
But so 26 people per class for grade school. In middle school, it was like 120. My graduating senior class was 79 people.
Okay.
So there wasn't really like these distinct pockets where you could point to, those are the nerds, those are whatever. It was just kind of this spectrum. Like, I mean, there's some jockey kids. I was some in their middle. I kind of mixed with everyone.
What's a jockey kid?
Jocks.
Jocks. Oh. Like, but again, like I say, jockey rather than jocks, because it's just like this slow spectrum. I mean, no one, we all kind of mixed with each other enough because the classes were so small and stuff.
Yeah.
But there were a section of just nerds. Mm-hmm. I was in AP physics when I was a junior. I was in a lot of AP classes. Really fell off like my effort, but I still would do well on the AP test to then get in to make my grandma proud.
Sure.
But then she would be pissed when she saw my report card because I didn't apply myself. But in AP physics, when I was a junior, there were 7 people. It was me and 6 of the biggest nerds in the class. We had Matt X, Christian F, who was a Polish kid who eventually took out student loans in America, got a degree, and then went back to Poland and owes like $150,000.
Brilliant move.
Pretty fucking tight.
The reverse
actually.
Polanski. Exactly. Or the Polanski.
No, the Polanski.
Yeah, not even the reverse mm-hmm. Polanski.
So the reverse
Polanski would be becoming an acclaimed director in Poland, sodomizing a 12-year-old, and then running
coming
to America.
America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody...
that would be the reverse Polanski.
Yeah, everybody back in Poland...
still
revering
Yeah, a lot of... Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, this was the... And I wouldn't doubt these kids played D&D. I actually think they did.
Yeah.
But man, Matt... He was just a shapeless form of a bowl cut when we were 17
right.
years old.
An amoeba.
And Christian... I mean, he was Polish, and he talked very, and he had glasses. He was like pocket protector. I mean, to a T,
yeah.
What you would describe as a nerd. But they were my friends. Mm-hmm. We were in AP physics
Listen,
together.
Listen, nerds are much more interesting than jocks. They are. They just are.
They can be.
I think, on the whole, I think they are.
Hmm. I can I talk about some nerds for a second? Because I actually have a story that is kind of crazy and sad. All right, well, I want to say this. I went to my 20th.
Did you harm anybody?
No. I went to my 20th. I
can't find the weed, by the way. I think I gave it back.
Go ahead. I'll tell the story. You guys look for weed.
Yeah.
All right. So I think I went to school at a wonderful
time.
We
found it. It was in Nick's pocket.
I can't believe you.
We got a hold of it. It was in Nick's pocket.
I can't believe you snuck it in there like that, Dylan. Insane of you.
Sleight of hand.
One of the wonderful things, and I want to advise any of the younger listeners out there, if you got a, don't go to your 10th high school reunion, but if you got a 20th, and I had mine a couple years ago,
yeah.
You go to that thing.
If you're feeling good enough about where you are in life, well, and Nick just shook and it freaked me the fuck out.
Well, regardless, all right, I get it. If you got a bad drug habit or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, don't go. It'll just make you sad.
But I went. And I had the best night of my life.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
All right, so my high school, unlike Nick's, there were definitely defined groups. We had, right. When I hit high school, that's when I started seeing the goth kids that were wear jean
sure.
jackets with all the patches of bands that I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Be like Black Flag.
Right.
Or I don't know. Something
the
like,
Misfits.
That's exactly.
Right.
If you're going to be a goth kid or be like an outsider, you got to have a jean jacket or wear black
with the Misfits
on it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We had a group of kids that wore those Black Flag jackets in my school, but they didn't have the L. Second L. There were no black people in my town.
Right.
It didn't land. It didn't work.
Oh, look. Nick smoked too much pot.
No, I didn't.
Look.
I see where I was going, and I think it could be funny. It was poorly executed.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
It was definitely on the edge of like fucking.
Lunenburg High School had jocks. We had real jocks, by the way. We had the mean jocks that dad probably was beat him up a little bit. 100%. So these were like tough kids. And to
duct your point, taping the football to the hands of the house.
Things like
the
slapping them around. And then that reflected how they treated other people. Sure. I was definitely in football my freshman year. I was like, hazed quite a bit. I had my titty twisters where they were purple, had my underwear ripped off. I was beaten. Anyway, but we had sluts. We had the nerds, of course. Yeah. And then we just had kind of the cool artsy people, because those 80 movies were coming in with John Hughes, where you kind of had kind of the artsy person. That was a new kind of...
John Hughes films weren't artsy.
Well, no, but they have a character.
They had the archetypes.
Yes, they had the archetypes. And one of the newer archetypes was kind of...
Molly Ringwald, is that?
No, it would be...
The Commedia del John Hughes.
Yeah. Let's see, who would it be? It would be like someone like Ducky in Pretty in Pink.
Okay, got it.
He's funny, he gets along with everybody, but he's kind of into things that you don't know about, so he's kind of smarter than you.
Okay.
We had that group of people.
Got it.
All right, so when I went to the 20th high school reunion, I hung out with all the nerds. I hung out with everybody. I'm not going to change their names, but I'm not going to use their last names. I hung out with Rich, who I called Dick in high school. I was kind of mean to him. And then Mike, who was our class president, who I brought up on the show.
Nickname for Richard.
And their wives. They married their high school wives. So we all went to high school together. And then there was Tanya. And we're sitting at this table. It's probably like 10:30 or something like that. And they announced that they're ending the 20th reunion. They only rented the venue till 11, so we got to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
All of us went down to the hotel bar and started throwing back shots, having a good time. I got wasted with the nerds.
Right.
And I just remember it was such a wonderful night, and I had a memory, because this is crazy. Things that happen in high school, people hold on to them, or sometimes you just go, all right, that was high school, get over it and move on. Like, one of the best things I ever saw, I'm sorry, wild tangents, is bowling in Columbine. You know, those two kids killed a bunch of fellow students. And in that documentary, the guys who do the cartoon thing are from there.
South Park.
Yeah. And they said, God, I wish I could have gotten to those kids, because the guys who killed everybody. I would have said, this is fucking high school. You may be a psychopath, but you're angry.
Wait to kill people in an office building.
Get out of...
Yeah.
Go to college.
I wish I would have gotten to those fucking kids, too.
And you won't give a shit, because I think that was kind of an extreme example, to be fair. But I did like their sentiment, which was like, high school doesn't really matter. You can get out of here and move on with your life and don't hold on and be angry about all this stuff. So get this. At the 20th high school reunion, Rich... who was told that he needed to tutor me junior year, my fellow student. And I used to joke, I'd go, hey, do you got a pencil, Dick? And he'd always hate that joke.
Wow.
Anyway.
Oh, it's really, it's
so get
good.
This.
Yeah.
Junior year of high school, I'm in the office because I think I got thrown out of class. The teacher said I had to go like to the president's office or something.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in there.
The president of this high school.
Principal.
Oh,
principal.
I thought he was going to see Nixon.
The principal. So I'm sitting in this room by myself. I forget whatever the fuck
Patrick,
I
did. Patrick, what are you doing back here?
I guess it would be Bush. What year were you in high school?
1992. So Rich comes in and he's kind of crying. He's sobbing.
Clinton didn't get inaugurated until January 16th, 1993.
Okay.
92 election.
So I'm sitting in this room and I see Rich, Dick, my tutor, who's nice enough to tutor me in math because I was horrible at it. He's crying. He's sobbing a little bit.
Who's disappointed in you?
No. He's in there for some reason. I don't know why, but I said, what are you crying about, pussy? And his eyes open up wide, and I'd never seen him like this. And he lunges at me and starts choking me.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Choking me real life. Like, I couldn't believe the grip he had around my neck.
Well, what happens?
It's like Ralph.
No, it's okay.
It's like Ralphie in Christmas Story.
Yes.
Just absolutely had snapped. Enough.
Well, that's what happens when you make fun of somebody who just got, you know, told that their parents have died in a plane crash.
Very similar.
Or isn't going to get their BB gun for Christmas.
No, so a teacher walks in. I forget his name. He'd only been there a couple months. He pulls Rich off me, and he's like, oh, because he had heard what I said.
Right.
He was disgusted by me. But I didn't have any frame of reference.
Well, despite the lack of frame of reference, you don't need to have a default setting of what's wrong with you, pussy.
I thought we were on that level.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what happened. And this is a horrific tale.
And we got here by just a lighthearted conversation about nerds.
Nerds, right. But I'm going to bring it back to the future. So this happened in 1992.
Yeah.
That's a movie.
Rich, turns out, was crying because he just left the soccer field where they were having a game, right? Soccer. No one's going to get hurt. A fellow student named Noom, who'd been here as an exchange student from Japan, had run into another kid, bumped heads, and died instantly on the soccer field.
No shit.
I had no clue. That's why I made like no frame of reference.
Right.
I see Richard crying in there. He's crying because he was on the field. He wasn't the kid that bumped into him. The other kid I heard killed himself in like 10 years after that.
Thanks, Pat.
So this poor kid who came here as an exchange student now needs to be shipped back in a box to Japan and tell his poor parents he died playing soccer in America.
Right. They'll never watch another World Cup again.
Fast forward 20 years later. Back Rich and I are at the bar. We're having shots. And he said, I wanted to always tell you, I'm sorry that I lunged at you for that.
Oh, my God.
I never got to tell you. I know you didn't know that. And he knew that I had a tough life. I lived on a cot in a one-bedroom apartment. I was a fucking an animal. I had no ability to understand.
Frame of reference.
Frame of reference.
You had zero frame of reference.
We understood I was a sad sack then, too, which doesn't make an excuse for my poor behavior calling him a pussy.
Right.
But it was interesting 20 years on to have this nerd, Rich, who went on to graduate from Yale and now, I believe, teaches there.
Yeah. You did that.
What's that?
I believe what happened to him wouldn't have happened had you not insulted him like that.
Yeah.
And had him lunge at you.
I don't think that was
his
butterfly effect.
That he did not give up until that moment drove him
to
achieve.
Make something of himself.
Yeah. Good job, Pat.
Thanks, Nick.
I've got something I really regret that relates to nerds. It's not even a coincidence.
Oh my God!
God bless your soul, Noom. You're a nice guy.
Yeah, and that's, I guess that's why I say nerds are more interesting than jocks. Jocks will usually, and I'm sorry to paint with such a broad brush here, but they'll usually take that trauma and spin it into a career in demo or remod, perhaps a trade.
Drywall is a gateway drug, as said.
And a pretty severe alcohol problem. A lot of canned food. Very sad life. But nerds have, deep in their chest, despite all the pain and ridicule, a really good heart.
Or they go into tech and figure out how to work our minds and squeeze money out of us and ruin our lives.
You know what? Point redacted, gavel, gavel. So who'd you hurt?
Jeff. there was something else I was gonna say. Man, I just got lost in it. So many memories flooding back. That very cathartic of you, Pat. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we made it funny.
Yeah.
But
hilarious.
So
he's got to get shipped home to his parents in a box.
So as a fatherless and motherless child.
Yeah.
Go on.
My grandma raised me, and I'd always go to David his house.
You don't mind using your friend's last name, so
we're gonna bleep him.
Oh,
I'm gonna bleep him.
I mean, if you this go,
you want me to bleep all of the last names? You said 70 of them. Already.
If it goes out for free,
okay,
then yes.
Okay,
but if you, I mean,
didn't get that. Could you try again,
Siri?
But if Brian can, it'll go out Sunday. On the quick turnaround ones, you still got to do the audio.
Don't worry. Let's not talk about on-air production. Don't get into the minutia of editing this here show.
Someone died?
How did you kill Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Jeff.
As well.
I mean, what is going on?
So, I would hang out with David Riquet when we were in, like, sixth grade.
And
David...
Sorry. I'm still not
sure.
Shut
up!
I mean, I'm just going to fucking blow my brains out.
David, despite having both his parents, always had these dope guy babysitters. All right.
Hot.
Huh?
Ooh. They were hot?
No, they were just like these college dudes. They were like athletes. Yeah. We'd fucking play 2-on-1 against them.
Oh, okay. Fuck yeah, dude.
Fucking, yeah, 1-on-1 football. They'd play quarterback. Great times of our life. David, you remember, he killed himself. He always had these dope babysitters. And my sisters both had... they were part of the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, and they had like older female figure who would take them out once a week, and they'd go do an activity. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, get about a house, kind of have a good positive male role model. Both had really good Big Brothers Big Sisters. My oldest sister especially, she had this woman who was the super hot late 20s chiropractor who married the CBA basketball star in the town, Vince the Prince Hamilton, who won the 1988 and the 1989 CBA basketball championships, and to this day is the all-time CBA leader in field goal percentage.
And CBA is what, for the people who have no fucking clue?
So the CBA is the Continental Basketball Association.
Sure.
It was,
and shame on you for not knowing that.
Now the NBA has the official D-League. There's like a relationship between all the teams,
right.
That's the minor league basketball now is somehow making a little bit of a profit.
And no one's touched Vince the Prince's record.
This was the version of the NBDL that wasn't sanctioned. It was the number two basketball league.
Got it.
If you did well in the CBA, you'd eventually make it to the league. They had like the Rockford Thunder, the
How'd you kill Jeff?
It's all relevant.
I forget he's high when he's doing this.
The Lacrosse Catbirds. But then the Catbirds actually got rebranded to the Bobcats, and I went to those games. The Catbirds were a little bit before my time, but they were a dynasty. They won two championships.
Did you kill Jeff at the game?
No.
Because
oftentimes Jeff would take me to Bobcat games, but that's actually just coincidence from where I am right now in my sister, in my story about my relationship with
the Big Brothers of the CBA,
and ultimately Jeff, my biggest regret in life.
Right. Biggest regret.
Something I feel very bad about, but I'll rectify. Ask Jeff out. Just hope he doesn't die. Like,
you know what my biggest regret is? Not handing Pete Holmes my script. Because I thought I was going to get fired from the Adam Carolla show.
Which you did.
Why didn't I just do it?
You should have.
Coincidentally, I didn't ask Norm at the Adam Carolla show to sign his book.
Right.
I did, however, make him laugh a little bit by saying, Gary looks like Adam Egret.
You've told the story now twice or three times, and you've ruined the last name of Adam Egret every single time.
Actually, it's an inside joke from the Norm MacDonald Live podcast.
And I knew that.
He would introduce
just kidding.
Him.
How'd you tell Jeff?
So, like I said, oldest sister, awesome big sister, that high chiropractor. Mm. I got adjusted when I was 11 by her, and I got like an erection. She was hot.
Not the one that drains poop out of people's assholes.
No.
That's my middle sister. Oh. That's my middle sister. I'm not saying my oldest sister was the chiropractor.
Right. No,
my oldest sister's big sister, I want to make very clear, chiropractor.
Right.
Who wasn't your big sister as well. It was, because you see the confusion there. People could think that you were still getting hard from your biggest sister, but it was your sister.
I wanted to make it so demonstratively clear.
Now, how'd you kill Jeff?
So, because my sister had such a big sister from the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, I desperately wanted a big brother from the Big Brothers Big Sisters program.
Yeah.
Because of David's cool fucking athlete guys or whatever.
Right, yeah.
So then, finally get a questionnaire for Big Brothers Big Sisters. You fill out kind of like what you're looking for. It's
dating
app application for a positive male role model.
Uh-huh.
I evidently was heavy on board games in my application.
Yeah.
Because
you just wrote down white and board game.
Sports.
Nothing else.
Sports.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Board games. I just remember going to my middle sister to the Big Brother Big Sisters programs, and with her we all played board games one day. I was like, this is awesome.
This is awesome.
So I wanted to do that, and so I wrote board games. Somehow, I don't even know how this got uncovered.
Before you move on,
I was actually about to cruise to Jeff.
I just want to make sure that we hit 45, and I think that we can do that with a short choose your own adventure subplot of how do we feel about Monopoly? I feel as though it is such a scorned game, and I'm such a massive fan of it, and no one wants to play it. Ever.
I'll play it.
I'd play Monopoly.
You would.
Oh, I love Monopoly.
I think we could make it a podcast.
Who cares?
Who
cares if you don't finish? You know, if you don't finish, then
just tally your your value.
Right. And then there's ambiguity over who won. There could be running jokes of I won that game, though you didn't. I mean, there's a lot of fun that can be had with an uncompleted game or an incompleted game of Monopoly. I mean, I don't know why people shit on it so much.
You listening, Fallon? I got a bit for you.
Oh, God. We got to get to it.
Fucking and hack.
We choose one lucky fan who's on Zoom, but they just roll the dice. The banker will move their money.
Love it. Yeah.
This is must-listen podcasting.
It's more visual appeal, but it was. I think people would honestly enjoy it. We would have to obviously not talk about it.
And I apologize, but how'd you kill Jeff?
So in lacrosse, my sisters got big sisters right away. There weren't as many girls, I guess, like in the program. Sure. You had to wait forever to get a fucking dude.
Fuck yeah.
To get a big brother.
Yeah.
And so somehow, I don't know how I was like discovered for it. Maybe they just picked one at random, talked to the YMCA.
Maybe they heard your story.
WXOW 19.
Someone, the manager, walks in and goes, "Hey, how has this kid's file been sitting on this desk for such a long time? You know his parents are schizophrenic, a fucking drug addict?"
I don't think I use that. I should have used that more.
Shut up.
In college applications too. All the reason I picked University of Minnesota over University of Wisconsin is because you didn't have to write an essay. That was basically decided. Yeah. Applied to one college.
That's that kind of apathy. Davis defining apathy.
But
yes.
Somehow WXOW 19 gets wind of my story, and they come to my house and they film me playing Chinese checkers. Mm. Okay, who was I playing? I wonder.
What a sad segment. Oh my God, what a bummer segment.
And I just did not have the electricity that you see before you now. I was just so closed off.
That's like Midwestern sad Attenborough. It's like,
you'll see here a young kid raised by his grandmother playing playing checkers. He wants a big brother so badly, but no one wants him.
Except it wasn't David Attenborough. It was Martha Kolaski.
The Midwest is so disgusting.
Martha Kolaski's husband is an Adam Carolla Show listener and has been following me since I worked at the show and congratulated me. So,
right, how'd you
bite
kill
your
Jeff?
Tongue.
Yeah, how'd you kill Jeff? I gotta go.
So I eventually... This is insane because I've been telling the story really well and the interruptions have extended it.
Yeah,
if you guys are ultimately trying to get me
quiet.
To the finish line, yeah. I've been crushing.
Yeah. Crushing.
I have been. And you interrupt because you, in your mind you get like tight. It's like, oh, this is boring for you. I'm crushing. So finally I get paired up with Jeff DeGroot.
Your insecurity makes the podcast uncomfortable sometimes. Oh, we're all having a great time. I think you are crushing.
But I also play it up to a bit the insecurity at times, I think we talked through it very well.
He hasn't found one yet, but watch as he plays all colors on the board. There should be five people at this table, but it's just him.
How'd you kill Jeff?
Come on, man, what'd you do to him?
So, finally get paired up with Jeff DeGroot. He's an engineer at Trane Company, one of the big employers in lacrosse. Mm-hmm. You know, Trane products. Uh-huh. I think eventually, as consolidation happens, probably bought by GM. Not GM. Doesn't matter.
Amazon.
See, now I'm losing it.
Right.
right. But get paired up with Jeff DeGroot. He's awesome. Always down to play board games because I think I emphasized that too much.
Right.
He would also play sports. He was awesome. We had a great time. Like, he took me to games. He was actually awesome, big brother. I realized when I was older he was somewhat of a nerd, but to me he seemed like this cooler guy who plays sports all the time.
Right.
But as I started to get, so I'm in like sixth grade, right before I go to middle school.
How many years has he been your big brother?
Two.
What a nice fucking guy, a saint. I know. And I think what I'm about to hear what you did to him is going to make me not like you very much.
So I'm not going to tell it. No, <'cause laughs> you're right, Pat. I'll finish it up, actually, on the Patreon-only version.
Oh, what a tease!
Of another podcast show. Patreon.com/anotherpodcastnetwork. You could see hear how I killed Jeff. Or something else, maybe even more hurtful.
What a tease. That's like going to seeing the first 10 minutes of a movie and going, if you want to see the rest.
with bated breath, you will have to go to patreon.com/anotherpodcastnetwork and find out which room and with which weapon Nick murdered Jeff with. But until then, jump in the iTunes ratings and reviews. Leave 5 stars, kind words, please, please, please. It helps the show grow tremendously. So if you have some time,
yeah, leave
hit
the reviews.
5 stars and leave some nice reviews.
We're
please.
Looking like the shows I make fun of.
Yeah, and it's not a good look because you guys have shown up for us so many times and we hate to keep, you know, putting our palm out, but we need you guys to leave some reviews. It's a huge CTA for us this week. We love you guys. I'm Dylan saying goodbye. Nick, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Pat, say goodbye.
Later, dudes.